Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, tonight we want to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for bringing us together. We pray that, Lord, you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you for your presence tonight. In Jesus' name, and somebody say, amen. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I believe. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. So now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work. Somebody say every man's work. Every man's work. Let's say it again. We are talking about the art of ministry. We are talking about your work, your kingdom business, your kingdom job. Every man's work. This is not your work at Ministry of Education. The Bible is not interested in the job you do at Starbrook Market. The Bible is not interested in the job you do at National Hardware, wherever you work. This thing is not interested in your business, Brian's Variety Shop in Perfect. God is not interested in that. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Or you think that is what God is talking about. No, the Bible says every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's activity in the kingdom of God, every man's labor, what every man has done in the church is going to become clear. For the day, that's the day of judgment, shall declare it. On that day, whatever you did in the church, whatever you did in the kingdom of God, will be made clear, will be exposed. That is why we spend the time we spend around here. That's why we do the things we do around here. That's why we try as good pastors, hopefully, engage you to hold a placard out there, to get you something to visit people, to call people, to bring people to church. That is why we are giving you that opportunity. Because your work, if you don't have a work, let's continue. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The day of judgment
is going. You see, that's how the Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 13, that blessed are those that are dead in Christ, for they've ceased from their labors. He says, and their works do follow them. You see, it is like you don't want to take any bad company with you to an important function. Nobody in their right sense want to take something that is not appropriate, or an appropriate dressing, or an appropriate gear, or a friend who is uncouthed, to take that person with you to an important function. You are just destined for disgrace and shame. That is why even some people don't like to marry. They say, I don't like this person. No, what do you think about this? Don't you think this person is a nice person? No, I don't want to marry this person. Because they are thinking that in this life journey, if they take such a person with them, it's not going to be nice. Now, you think about this and think about yourself, that on that day when you stand before God, how many of the works are you going to take with you in front of God? What do you have? What do you have? What are you going to take with you? I mean, from the earth, we know that you already be disgraced because you don't have anything. If you know that, and that's what we are trying to bring your mind to, if you know that, you will really kill yourself for this church and this thing that we are exposing you to. You will not have excuses because of your job. You never have excuses because of your life. You don't have excuses because of anything you are into. Because whatever you are into, it is fine. It is okay. But when that day comes, what are you going to take with you? You see, all the things that matters here on earth, they do not matter in heaven. All the things that you and I are engaged in that seem to engage our attention more than what God wants us to do, they don't matter when you cross over this river. For that day shall declare it. The day of judgment shall declare it. Because God is going to sit down and assess what you have done, the quality of what you have done. He says, because fire, that is the fire. God is going to pass your works through fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, even fire here on earth, you should go to Gafos and they will tell you. I went there today for the first time. It's not nice. I mean, these people, they have money, so at a point, it's not such a problem. But if you see it and you look at somebody who doesn't have any money to continue the business, you collapse and die. He will not feed how many thousands of people the other day also on his birthday. It's like nothing has happened. He can rebuild. It's no problem at all. And continue. But if you see, they've not moved many things. If you go, I mean, the things are there, fire. Something I was going to buy, they say, oh, no, we don't have it because the fire melted it. Now, if fire on earth can destroy people's homes, think about God's type of fire. And think about what kind of work, what kind of quality of work in the church can really withstand the fire of God. When you think about it, it means that if there's anything like killing yourself for the kingdom of God, you will kill yourself. It should, in case that is the high quality. That is why Jesus said that if your righteousness will not exceed that of the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom. If your ability and your power to do things right will not exceed that of the Pharisees who pay tithe on edo leaf. When you and I don't even pay tithe. He said, if our righteousness, our right doings do not exceed that of the Pharisees, we should forget about the kingdom. Am I talking to somebody tonight? You see, my prayer for you is that ignorance will die away. My prayer for you is that your ignorance, as I'm preaching, I am believing God that ignorance is being shattered in your mind so that you see that 10 hours of working in a secular world can never be compared to even 2 hours of working in a church. Can never be compared to it. Because you need to take something with you, you know. That's something you must remember. You need to take something with you. We go back to that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
I'm preaching about workers, where the work of ministry, the art of ministry. Yeah.
Every man's work, what sort it is. You see, and then you should see God. Oh. Now, as I'm here in the church, Sister Anita can tell you. Come, Sister Anita, microphone. She can tell you. Me, you can do anything to me. Because I'm not God. You can do whatever. Sister Anita, come.
What happened on last Tuesday? What happened last Tuesday and what happened last Sunday? Tell us.
Last Tuesday, when church over and we finished practicing, me and Sister Carlotta was walking on the road. And we was talking about church, being shepherd.
Church work.
Church work and so. And we say we didn't ready and we want to play with fronted and, you know.
And you understand what she's saying? So you're talking about church work and all of that. Face, so how?
We didn't ready.
And meanwhile, no. This walk. I just sing in the choir. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place. And it's all right, no?
Up to the choir. We level is the choir.
The level yes. Is the choir.
We want to be no shepherd and play with fronted and them thing.
No, it's like when you are a church worker, you are playing fronting. Go ahead, my dear.
So, Sunday when you was preaching and you came and your hand picked we, me, Sister Coletta and me. So I studying, I said, wait, like Reverend hearing somebody, like Reverend put a listening device on. We can how we know we went talking about though, yeah. And now you come and pick we for do church work. I was just me, Sister Coletta went talking.
Do you understand what Sister Anita is saying? Are you sure you understand?
We were on a whole rev girlfriend. And then he come and hand pick with me, cut Sister Coletta, he knock me with the book.
I knock you with the book like that. Where is she? I got to knock you with the book too. Raphael, you understand? Pastor Mary, are you following?
Yes. Peter, we had some listening advice, can we? How we want to know how you get from no we been talking well, about. Reverend, the thing left me amazed. And when you come and pick me and church over me, Sister Coletta go outside and laugh.
can you believe what is happening? It can only be God who is not happy with what they are saying on their way home. Who just uses me? He says, you must believe that God uses me too. You must believe that one. Uh-huh. So when you are dealing with me, you must be, whenever you are doing something for me, you must do it with all your heart. Because you must know that God is with me. And I go, and they were the only two I handpicked. First two. And she said, I knocked them with a book too.
And you said, see we after church.
I said, see we after church.
I said, what?
It's like a movie. It's a real thing. You may be laughing, but it's a real thing. Because God loves Anita and Sister Coletta. And God is wondering if these ladies are going to die like this. I am not going to. When the judgment is ready, I can't now at that point say, oh, that's me, daughter Anita McLean. She's singing the choir, nice. So, let me let the heat of the fire go down. No. So, God is actually saving her. After saving her from her sin and hell, she's also continued to save her from entering into heaven with nothing.
Amen.
Yeah. So, we are going to work for the Lord.
Amen.
Late night or no late night, we walking.
Reverend, God must say, all right, are you too? Are you talking them thing? I can tell Reverend boy.
Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Yeah. 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 So those of you who are sitting down, and say, you don't want to be fronting. Look at the word that is used to describe the privilege of doing God's work. Anita is calling it fronting. To me, I'm fronting. Am I fronting? Yeah, you are too. You are fronting. But you see, what even made me remember Sister Anita and Sister Coletta's testimony is that there are many of you who, even though you have the privilege to do the work, you don't do it from your heart. Because you don't understand why you must do the work. And that is why I'm explaining this to you before we go further. That the quality of your work is very important. Oh, you can, let me tell you, there's nothing about this earthly and secular work that will follow you in the grave. There's nothing like that. I was watching a documentary today about the American presidents. They are the Air Force One. They're doing a documentary on Air Force One, Marine One, and all of that. And the guy who is the commander of Marine One, you know what Marine One is? Marine One is a helicopter that the American president uses. The plane is called Air Force One, and the helicopter is called Marine One. Now, the Marine One group, the group of U.S. Marines that take care of that whole helicopter division for the president, there are 700 people. But it's only, and they train most of them, it's only 4 people that qualify at the end of the day to be able to fly the helicopter. And they rehearse 10 times. When you go for the test, you go through a series of tests. Only 4 are handpicked. One of them is a lady to fly an American president. And they rehearse 10 times. You fly from the base to the White House, base to 10 times as a final test. And it is very, very precise. They say zero failure. Zero failure. There shouldn't be any little thing. And they rehearse. They rehearse during the day and they do night flights also. Quality. 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 The quality of the, it is so exact. The guy who comes out of the Marine One, opens the door first, comes out, and stands and salutes for the president to get down. He says that they know the southern part of the White House where the helicopter lands all the time. He says that there is a hole where the helicopter lands and where he marches around to take his position. He says they know there's a hole. But you can't look on the ground. And you pray that you don't just step into the hole also. He said there's a hole around where we march around and where we stand. I say, every day it's like, I will not fall into this hole. But they don't look down. So he marches around as if there's no hole. Every time the president is going to fly. Now, one of the things that they talk about is that they don't know when their services will be required. The Secret Service will just decide, no, this trip, we got to go with the helicopter. So they must be ready at all times. It's fantastic. God knows you, and he knows the secret things. So those of you who are around, who pretend to be doing and not doing, repent. Because I can be deceived because I'm a human being. But when that day comes, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Think about the sort of work you're producing. What even made me bring the Marine One story is this. The Lieutenant Colonel, who is in charge of Marine One, he said something, Prince. He said that the American president is the most important man in the whole world. He says that there is no president in the whole world who moves with his plane and with a fleet. Because Air Force, anytime Air Force One takes off, there's a decoy. There's another Air Force One which the president is not inside. If Marine One, the helicopter takes off, there's another same color, everything that moves with it that the president is not in. So that if you look at it, you'll be deceived. Which one is the president inside? He says, it is the only country where the president comes with his own fleet. Like I said, there's nobody else on this planet as a president who operates like how the American president operates. Yeah. You see, so no matter what you have, even when you go to America, and the people will tell you, when you go to America, no certificate works. No certificate works in America. It's the same thing that they say that they are the only one who are able to do that. The only one who are able to do something like that. It's the same thing. They feel they are so big and they feel so privileged that they can do things anywhere, but you can't do anything in their country. Now you migrate to America and see how useless your CXC and your CAPE certificate will be. God, his quality control, the systems he has in place to check the quality of the work you and I are doing. That system, you cannot go around it. It will bring out the type of work you are doing or you have done here on earth. And that's why you should be very, very, very careful what you are doing. If you are not doing anything in church, you should watch it. If you are doing something in church, you should also watch it. Because God is not going to come and tell you face to face that, hey, you are not doing something, do something. Or you are doing something, you are not doing it well, so do it well. Like how these ladies were so privileged. It's a privilege. God loves them so much. Because how many of you have said the same thing and God has changed that? How many of you have complained about church work and then God has come and said, no, I'll use your pastor to change that mindset. They're very, very, very blessed. That Tuesday, something happens on Sunday. And then Tuesday, God corrects us on Sunday. God must love them. And Anita and Coletta cannot decide not to follow what God is saying. Because on that day, God will say, you remember 2006, May? Close to 50th celebration? 50th, you remember? You stand, you get basidi. You get ning-ning. You just look at it. You can't open your mouth because you will agree that, yes, he spoke to you about this particular thing. You see, and this is how people don't understand how God speaks. So God has, if you ever say that God has never spoken to you before, you're a liar. God has personally spoken to them here, right here, in the presence of all of us. They have no excuse anymore. On that day, when that fire goes through the work that they have done, God wants to be proud to say, when I warned them, they listened. And I'm glad they listened. And I'm glad they have come here with a quality type of work. But if it doesn't get like that, God wouldn't say anything. God said, I told you, I did my best. I spoke to you about it. I warned you. And it goes for all of you who are sitting down listening to me. Look at how 150th Golden Jubilee anniversary. People are coming into Guyana. People's relatives. People are marketing products. People are distracted. All kind of juvie. Wash down, wash up, wash around. All kinds of things are going on. Yankee white party or something. People are into these things that it cannot even go before God. and much more to be tested. You go to verse 14. If any man's work abide, it means that if your work is able to survive, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. It's because you can't take gold, a 3 penny weight of gold, to God's gold company and say that, oh, it is 5 penny weight. God will say, okay, if you say five, it's five. Let's check it and see. And he'll take it through his system. He said, ah, but you said five. There's not even 1 penny weight inside. He said, it's like sometimes we go to the bank with the offering you give us, and then they'll pick up one or two notes and say, this is counterfeit. And the people who go and bank the money, they will say, but I said, no, this is counterfeit. And you are lucky that you are not arrested, because if you try to bank a counterfeit money, you should be arrested. That's the right thing. But they look at us in a church, they realize that it's offering we are coming to bank, so they just overlook it. But somebody here in the church put that counterfeit in the offering. Unless you don't know what counterfeit money is, which many of people don't also know. If your work after is tried, if it abides, then you receive a reward. Let's go on. This is just my introduction, you know. I've not started preaching. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It's like you barely made it. So you see people holding gifts. Now, in our days in Europe, in Christmas time, you can easily get jealous if your company wasn't a nice company. Getting to Christmas, somewhere mid-December, the company invest in what they call cursed cadeau, which is Christmas present. Most companies buy Christmas presents for their workers. So you have these businesses that come up with pallets and pallets of Christmas boxes that the companies will go and invest and buy. So everybody in the company around the 14th, 15th, they call you, you go, you get a big Christmas box. You have all sorts of things inside. It's very, very nice. It's not very, very nice. Every Christmas, so everybody looks towards the end of somewhere around December to see what they're going to get. Sometimes you get a small package. Sometimes they give you big things, and then a lot of paper is inside because the packaging, they have to package it. So you say, oh, paper, a lot of papers. Ah, the box was so big, I thought I was going to get enough things. Now, if your company doesn't give you, you see people. Sometimes you see people when you're in the train, you're going home in a bus, you see people carrying their big boxes. And then you wonder, what kind of boss man you get? It's going to be like that in heaven. When you barely make it, you see somebody carrying a big present going. And then you wonder, what happened to me? What happened to you? It is what you did here on earth. That is the reward you are getting over there. And the reward is not going to be, it's not going to be biased or partial or racial or segregational or apartheid. God is a just God. And whatever you do, that's exactly how he rewards you. You're dealing with God, you better be careful. 16. You'll be saved, but you can't take anything in heaven. There'll be no reward for you. 16, that's it? Nah, okay. No, the thing has changed. Were we doing 15? 16. No, it goes into hay and all of that. All right. So we are looking at, with this in mind, the type of work we must do, the quality of it. We're looking at types of workers. Are you there? We are looking at types of workers, because with all of this in mind, what kind of workers should we be? What type of workers should we be? If we are going to do the work of the ministry, if we are going to work in a church, what type of workers should we be? Samson, are you there? What type of workers should we be? Should I just decide how I want to do it, when I want to do it, and the way I want to do it? Or there are types that I can emulate. There are types that I can decide to be. That's what we're looking at. What's number one? 10 types of workers, isn't it? What's number one? Workers who are what? Sons and daughters. Number two, workers who have The same spirit as the leader. Do you understand all these? Okay, number three. Did we do that? Workers who work for you because they owe their whole life to you. Did we do this? We didn't do this. Ah, remember the madman of Gadara? Do you remember the madman of Gadara? When Jesus cast out the devils from him, what did he say? You remember what he said? You don't remember? Pastor, what did he say? You remember? You're the Bible scholar. Oh, you left Bible school a long time ago. Who is fresh? Ah, Pastor Ralph finished Bible school 20 years ago. He remembers. Professor. He said what?
He will go with him.
The madman of Gadara said that he will just follow Jesus. Because he realized that he owed his life, himself, this whole. Because if he had not met Jesus, he was some guy that people will pass the cemetery and will not even look at him and they will laugh. But Jesus came into his life and his whole life changed. Now, what do you want to do with your life from then? You got to walk behind this person who has actually saved and changed your life. And that is what has happened to us. In a way, that is what has happened to us. Jesus has changed our lives. How much of our life are we giving to him? So there are people who work in the church, who work in the house of the Lord, as people who owe their lives to you or to the man they are working with and working for. There are many of you, if I had not come here, you wouldn't be where you are today. I said there are many of you, if we had not come here, you wouldn't be who you are today. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. You see, people don't understand that sometimes there are people in your life that you owe them your whole life. Even if we pause on the church, that you owe your parents your life. Yeah. They brought you out. They could have kept you inside, but they decided to bring you out. It's something that people don't understand. Everything all right? Last one. You're belly hurting. May the Lord touch you. Is that your drink? Is that your juice? It got to be that one, huh? I see. Yes, no, but you see, you of yourself should understand how deep related you must be to the person who you're working for. You will not get people to tell you. Because sometimes if somebody says it, you especially when you don't understand, it'll be as if the person is trying to, you know, control you or possess you or something. You yourself, like Mary with an alabaster box of ointment, that was all she had. It was the best help she ever had. And Mary, you see, you may not understand it so much, but it was not so appropriate when Jesus was seated in Simon the leper's house, relaxing from his journey with his disciples, probably all male, for a woman to burst through the crowd, didn't knock the door, didn't ask Jesus' permission, and just went down by Jesus' feet. It was a risk. She was lucky Peter didn't see her on time. Oh, cry. Because remember Peter, he cut off the chief priest, the servant's ears. Yeah. He would not allow you at all. When the children were coming, they were the ones who say, hey, this is not for children. They were so conscious about the surroundings where they were with Jesus that for Mary to walk into the house boldly like that and go and be able to wipe the... No. I mean, she risked a lot of things with the little that she had because she knew what Jesus had done for her. Nobody was going to tell her what Jesus had done for her. She of herself knew. And out of that knowledge, she decided to give her very best. That's why the disciples, many of them, died the way they died. Because they knew what Jesus meant to them. And that's something you must understand. When you understand that, nobody will ask you to come to church. Nobody will ask you to do something for God. Nobody will ask you to hang around. Nobody, you see, sometimes even the little waiting we wait around or the little after church, hang around 30 minutes, 15 minutes, for some people it's so difficult. You check in, you check out. It is just because you have not come to understand who you are dealing with. Workers who owe their lives to you. Paul told Philemon that he owes him his life. Number four, workers who are prone to abandoning you. Yeah. There are workers who are prone to abandoning. They are prone to abandoning you. Hey, are you like that? 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's a guy called Demas. You see, I was thinking about this the other day. There are some people who say, oh, I don't have money for transportation, but they go to work. And they eat too. They say, I don't have money for the book, but I have money for something else. Many people are not serious. And they are not serious because they are a type of a worker. Because Georgetown is not big, you know. You should be able to walk in Georgetown. Georgetown is not big at all. But many people are lazy. You see, it's far to you when there's nothing motivating you from your heart. It's late for you when there's nothing moving you in your heart. When you go and spend time with friends, you don't say it's late. When you go to the clubs, you don't say it's late. You find money to go. When you go and enjoy the company of all the people you enjoy, time is not an element at all. Which tells me that when you come around the church, you are a type. You are a particular type. That's not a good type. Yeah. When your relatives have come from abroad, you go everywhere with them like you're a tour guide. And since they left Georgetown 12 years ago, even not $1 they sent to you. All of a sudden, there are angels who have come from heaven. And when they are going, they leave the boots that they walk around with. Use one. And then you're excited. Because you've never received anything from America before. And when they leave, you never hear back from them again. You are like a toilet tissue. You've been used. That's it. Yeah, next 50 years again. 100th independence anniversary. If we are still here. People seem to spend more time on that one. Independence Day, we say we are going out with our placards. You should see, we want to see who, how many of you will come here? We are meeting here at 12 o'clock. Not 2, 12, we are meeting here. And then we are going to also march around with our placard. Jesus saves. Heaven is real. Jesus is coming soon. We want to see, how many of you? Yeah. Find your Independence Day t-shirt or something, colors, and come. Yeah, find something and come. Your cap, your shoes. You can dress red, Yeah, you can dress red, black, yellow, green, white. Feel free. But we are going to stand somewhere and show that Jesus is a real deal. I'm going to look out for you. I know your faces. And I'm sure we are going to be somewhere where when you are passing, you duck. <laughs> 12 o'clock, all of us from wherever we are meeting right here, and we're going to go to where we're going to hold our placards. Well, I know many of you won't come. I'll cry. I know it. I know. You have more important things than what I am talking to you about. But you see, you are a type. And you are a bad type. Because you are somebody who is prone to abandoning the work and the things of God. The Bible says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present anniversary celebration, and is gone to Jubilee Park. Yeah. Yeah, Durban Park, Jubilee Stadium. After that, to Juve and to wash down. That will be, in your Bible, that will be the verse for you. May you not be the type that abandons the work of the Lord. I say, may you not be the type that abandons the work of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. There's no reward in it. People who are prone to abandoning you. Yeah. That's why Jesus, you see, when people say they will follow him, he always tested them. Because he realized that, you know, the way he was operating, giving people food, miracles, anybody would like to follow him. So when people said they'll follow him, he said, okay, go and sell everything you have and come. That was it. They couldn't. Because he knew that somebody like that, if they come and follow you, they will not stick with you. So he had to select. He's finished selecting the people. He select 12 people to be with them. Now you want to come and join and make it 13. Can you handle it? Someone said, let me go and bury my father. He said, oh, don't worry. Let the dead bury the dead. And I am amazed. And I say it all the time. I always say it. How when somebody dies and the body comes to the church is full. You watch it and see. Anytime you see cars parked around the church, it's not a normal service. It's a dead person in the church. It tells you that we are more into burying the dead than keeping people alive. And it's a sad case for the church of Jesus Christ. That's why yesterday when I heard there was a church at Starbrooks Market, Starbrooks Square, having a service. I don't know what the service was about, but it was just exciting. It was just good that people will also come around and also hear something about God. Because this world is very godless, especially where they live and they've come here. The place they've come from is very, very godless. They must live with some kind of God in their minds and in their hearts. And you and I have been chosen by God to do that. Prone to abandoning people. Hey. Yeah, I have church workers who are not here tonight. Even though they went to work today. I'm saying that the money that will take you home, why don't you use that same money and come to church? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if God is all that mighty to us, if the God we always talk about and sing about is the real God who is awesome and powerful and can do everything, if we really believe that, we'll do everything for him. Because at the back of our mind, we know that no matter what I lose for him, he's able to give it back to me. Yeah, if we believe it. Because you can say, oh, what about if I come to church with that money I have, how do I go back home? But tomorrow morning you are going back to work. You have money you are going to go with.
That is why God is going to take everybody's work through the quality control system.
Amen.
Yeah. Sister Everett, are you not a nurse too? Why are you sitting now? Yeah. She's a nurse. But she's always in church as if she's not a nurse. There are some nurses who work 24 hours in a day for 7 days in this life. She's a nurse. But she's here Sundays. She's here on Tuesdays. She's here on Thursdays. I don't know how she makes it work. But I see her. But there are other nurses too who you never see at all. And when they come around, they want to come and sit in my meeting as if they are interested in my meeting. There are types of people. There are types of workers. There are some who will maneuver and make it possible. Jamila, as long as the work of God comes up, everything else can go. It's like, I can make an excuse for that one, but this one, I cannot make excuse for this one. You are a type. You become a type. You become a type. I tell you. And that type is the type of people you want to work with and choose and do anything with. Yeah. Right. There must be types of businessmen who are not afraid to close their shop and come to. And will not sit in church and say, tonight, man. Oh, this, how many hours? Man, oh, the corner. I'm sure the corner is jamming, man. This cho thing, man. There must be a type that is not afraid to close the business and do what they got to do for God and go and open the business for 2 hours and then the whole day's sales will be made in the 2 hours. I tell you, if we do believe God, I don't know how you see God, but if you really see God the way He is, the small hours you spend in His work, I tell you, it will reward you in many things. Yeah. I tell you. I was telling Pastor San, Pastor San's father is not feeling so well. It has really kind of, you know, shaking them. They're very busy. You know, they have to be there watching and all of that. I mean, it's very tough for him to be here tonight because that's why Abigail. Where's Abigail? That's why Abigail is not here. Because she has to be the backup. So, because all of them, their life is church. So now that daddy is not so strong, somebody got to be. You know, so Abigail was cheated tonight. Dion is here, and his son is here, and Abigail is not here. I was telling them that what their father is going through, my father went through, but I was in Guyana preaching to you and praying for you and counseling you. I wasn't in Ghana. I said they are blessed. I was in Ghana. I was in my father's home. I could not, you see, when I was in Ghana for that period, it was about 2 weeks I spent. Meeting was 1 week, and then I went to spend the rest of the week with my father. I did not sleep on a bed. He had a small chair in his room and a small stool. So I sit in the chair and I put my legs on his stool. And that's how I would sleep. Because he'll call you every 5 minutes. Every 2 seconds, he's calling you. It's this, it's that, it's that. Sometimes you go and it's nothing. And so he's crying out for pain and all of that. And if you are going to sleep in your nice, fancy bedroom in your bed, you will not hear him when he's crying. And I can't afford to be across. And then when he's crying and I say, oh, this old man. No. How often am I with him? So I slept in the room. I cry for pain. I was telling them, my father slept in the same place for days, weeks, months. He developed sores on his buttocks. But you could still not put him anywhere because he was so weak. You can't put him on his side. You can't put him in front, on his stomach. Just right here. And I was right here in Guyana preaching to you, doing church work, calling you and praying for you and all of that. And he was down somewhere suffering as if he doesn't have a son. You just live here in Guyana. Your life has even not nothing much in your life.
I leave my father. I left. A few weeks later or so, he died. Same happened to my mother. My mother became weak. One sad story we heard when we went to bury her. Man, the neighbor said, one day, a friend of hers came to visit her, and they were there, they were chatting, they were talking. And then this friend of hers told them, I hear somebody crying, shouting. Is there a child somewhere here? She said, oh no, there's nothing like that. It was only later she you know, came to her senses. The neighbor, there's an old lady in her house, but her daughter, that's my big sister, is with her. Because the person started, continued to say, oh no, somebody's crying, somebody's making some sound. So then she said, okay, let's go and check and see what is happening. When they went to her house, a very big house, nobody was there but my mother. She had fallen in the bathroom. She couldn't get up for hours. You think you are sacrificing for anything here in the church? And she died. The morning, Bishop called me, 2013. He said I should come to Liberia to be with him for crusade. The morning when I was packing my bags to the airport, my sister called me from London. Mommy, he's gone. What do you do? I passed Ghana to go to Liberia. Passed Ghana, came back. What do you go and do? Came to prepare to go and bury her. When my father died and we were going to bury her, it was when they put her body, the casket in the hearse after the service. That's when that's when it hit me. That's when it hit me. That it was like maybe for a minute or two, and I recovered. But when my mother's own, I had to go and hide in a room before the video camera get me. But Raphael, around 5 a.m., her body was laid in the living room. And her church members, the women's fellowship, they came around. 5 a.m. Because our wake, the body is there. Keep the body at the parlor, and then we do wake. Body is right there at the wake. Yeah. If you love her, why are you putting her somewhere and crying somewhere? That's why you're awake. You do a lot of domino, a lot of excuse me, say nonsense. Because there's no dead body there for anybody to feel anything. Our wakes, the body's there. That's why we do only wake one night. The Friday night, we do the wake. Saturday, we bury. We do the funeral. Sunday morning, service, we are done. So Friday night, she was in, and we converted the living room into a place for her. That's the house they built. So the whole living room was changed into a garden, kind of. And she was on the bed. And me, myself, and my two brothers, we had to carry her from there. When they brought her from the hospital, we had to carry her into the living room for her to be dressed. You feel her coldness. All of this time, it didn't hit me. Until when we got dressed up, everything she was, the morning we woke up, 5 a.m., the women came around. And then the DJ went to play some song. Then I realized that this thing, I couldn't handle it. I bowed my head. My tears were dropping. The people were coming in. And when they get to the gate, they start hollering. I just went to the bedroom to just lie down. So when I watched the video, there's a part that I wonder, where was I? There was, that's what I was hiding in the room. I said, everybody was crying. I was somewhere. And I realized that. I don't have a mother. I don't have a father. And all of them suffered. I would say suffering, because all of us are not around. Brian, and I'm here. Late night, late morning, preaching, teaching, encourage you. Come, let's do God's work. My mother is somewhere. My mother needs somebody to help her go to the bathroom. I'm not there. Your mother is, sister, your mother is here. Look at how blessed you are. I'm jealous. I wish my mother was also here. Right.
But this is the one that you can't leave to come to the church. But I left my thousands of miles away. It's not like I could just sit in the car and just drive and go and check it up and come. But you can go to, mommy can even come and stay with you. Mommy. What a blessing. So in the night, even if she holler for help, she will holler for help in Ghana. And I'm here preaching and teaching. How am I going to hear? Even if she has the voice of angels, I can't hear her hollering. She died. Daddy died. Now when I go to Ghana, I don't even go to, I can't even go home. There's nobody home. The light has gone off. The light of my life, the parents, they are gone. I go to Accra, have my meetings. Quick, come back and be with you here. We hear that you don't want to come. You don't want to come. So I was telling them, they're very, very blessed that in these days that their father is not very well, they are even there to be able to help him. It's a blessing. If you don't have something to compare, you think that, no, it's not a bother at all. It's a blessing to be there. Because whatever it is, you are able to take him to the hospital. You're able to help him do this. You must find comfort in that too. Because there are certain things you can't change it. Don't think of changing things. You can change things. But you must be glad that at least when you were needed, you didn't say, oh no, what is this thing? Why are you worrying me? Why are you troubling me? Me ain't get time. There's nothing like me ain't get time. Because we are not people who abandon people. We are not abandoners. We do not lose focus of what God has called us to do. Our responsibilities. We don't shy from our responsibilities and follow other things. So anytime, Bishop has said it, anytime you don't want to do something, you make an excuse. Because everything can be rearranged. I hope the message was recorded. My time is up. Please stand to your feet. A type that abandons you. What type are you? For Demas has forsaken me. Not that he got promotion to even become something else. Yeah. That's why one time I was telling the church, I said, you see, when people are important to us in this church and they say they are going, it's not even like they got something better to go into. Well, they're going. I mean, you're leaving such an environment and you are going into what? I mean, if it's something greater and bigger than where we are, that's what you do. You move up in life. So the person gets something to do, a church work that is far and bigger, no, at least we are happy. But you don't walk into foolishness. It is called abandoning. You are forsaking. May you not be a forsaker. I said, may you not be a forsaker. No, you're aiming. This aiming doesn't make the thing happen, though. Your aiming is not strong at all. It's like, may you not be a forsaker. Because people who forsake, they are not good people. They are not nice people. You can't do anything with them. Come what may, you must be there. Let's pray. Pray for yourself at this time. Just pray for yourself. What type of worker are you? Are you even a worker? Pray. Speak to the Lord. Speak to God. You have to have some work with you when you cross over to the other side. The Bible says that we will be judged. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. We will be judged according to our works. You see, Christians are not going to be judged whether we are sinful or not sinful. That's not what it's going to be. Once you are a Christian, the judgment you are going to be judged by is just what you did. Speak to God right now in the name of Jesus. I wonder if you're speaking to God, you really mean what you're doing.
Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord with passion. Speak to the Lord with understanding. Speak to the Lord with knowledge of what can happen to you if you are a forsaker. Of what can happen to you if you don't do the work of the Lord. Kebros kabranda makaya baske berenes. Lebo boboske bondoromo kabras kataya baba. Lebros kataya malaba banda alababa. Lebros katabandere me kebres kataya baba. Lebros katamama mandere me kebres keberenes. Lebolo simandi makabra baskataya baba. Libros kabara babanderia bakabara baba baba. Berebes katabra babandara baske berenere. Libros kabandiri mi kabra baba baba baske berenes. Libros ke bolondoro mo kabra skataya bara baba. Bororo shika bara basitara bara baba. Mandere me kabra skatara bara baba. What a privilege it is to hear these words, O God. What a privilege it is to be corrected and to be encouraged, O God. To be fixed and to be put together concerning your work. Concerning what we are going to have accompany us one day when we are no more. What a blessing it is, O God. What a blessing it is to hear these sound words. All scripture, your words, is given by inspiration of God. It has been profitable tonight. It has been profitable tonight. It has been profitable tonight. May we not be those who forsake. Those who forsake. Those who leave. Those who abandon. Those who don't remember, have no recollection of the preciousness of the gift of God and the opportunity and the privilege to work in the house of the Lord. Blessed be your name, O God. Kabros keberende makaya baba sandaya. Libros kataya barababa. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus. Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. An empty place, if not for grace. Where would I be? Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. An empty place, if not for grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, sing it somebody. But now I'm found. Oh, a hopeless case. An empty place, if not for grace. Amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hopeless case. An empty place, if not for grace. Where would I be one more time? Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. An empty place, if not for grace. Amazing grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless case, an empty place,
if not for grace.
A hopeless case, an empty place,
if not for grace.
Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for making our meeting and our time here profitable through the inspiration that comes from the Word of God. Thank you that, Lord, we do not want to move across this river ahead of us at the end of our lives empty-handed. We want to carry works, types of works, different kinds of work, assorted works, so that when it goes through quality control, when we cross over, we will not be lost. We will not barely make it into heaven. Thank you for speaking to us tonight in Jesus' name. I mean, you're here tonight, you're not saved, you're not born again. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, Pastor, I'm not sure where I will go if I were to die right now. I want to go to heaven. I need Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my heart. But right now, I don't have him. Please pray with me. I want to be born again. If you're here like that, your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again tonight. I want Jesus to come into my heart. You're here like that. Don't die and go to hell. Make sure you don't leave tonight without knowing and without assurance that you go to heaven. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Pastor, please pray for me tonight. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. Your right hand up high. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't look around. It's between you and God. If you are not sure, don't leave tonight, because something can happen to you when you leave here. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. You are here like that tonight. Your right hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come, I want to pray for you. Come. Come, my dear. Come. Clap for her as she comes. Clap for her. Clap for her as she comes. Clap for the gentleman. Oh, sing it. Clap for them. Welcome them. Encourage them. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. If you want to come, come right now. Come before it's too late. Come now before it's too late. God bless you. Close your eyes with me. It's a simple prayer you pray, but it changes your life forever. Say with me from the bottom of your heart, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe God raised him from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to make my heart his home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell. I am now a child of God. Heaven is my home. My name is written in the book of life. And I have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.